smile with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is me. That's entertainment. The lights on the lady in tights, or the bride with the guy on the side, or the ball where she gives him her all. That's entertainment. The plot can be hot, simply teeming with sex. A gay divorcee who is after her ex. It can be Oedipus Rex, where a chap kills his father and costs a lot of bother. The clerk who is thrown out of work by the boss, who is thrown for a loss by the scourge, who is doing him dirt. The world is the stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. Hey! Scene like you see on the screen, a swain getting slain for the love of a queen. Some great Shakespearean scene where a ghost and a prince meet and everything ends in mincemeat. The gag may be waving the flag that began with the Mr. Cohan hip hooray, the American way. The world is the stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. I've got
to tell you about another thing that happened to me when I went abroad. I went to London first. It's lovely to be back. Thank you. It's lovely. And they're terribly sweet. They're wonderful. And they were very sweet to me. But if you know anything about the English press, they're rather odd. They really are. They just say terrible things about people, you know, and they say miserable things, and then somebody sues them, and then they pay off, and then they say them again, and then they sue them again, and it's a never-ending thing. Well, anyway, I landed in London, and I was taken to a press conference in a hot, airless little room, and all of these photographers and reporters and so forth were asking very impertinent, very rude questions, you know, and I was always just being so nice. And there was one young girl, though, and she was kind of cute. She was next to me all the way through this party, and she kept saying, "You look marvelous. I've never seen you look as well. You look so relaxed, and you look, what have you been doing this?" No. and I said, "Well, I feel fine." And she kept following me all around the room and saying, "I can't get over. What have you, come on, what, you never looked so well." And by, you know, I was there for an hour and a half, and by the time I left, I felt pretty good with this girl. And just as I was leaving, she said, "Would you mind dropping me at my hotel, because I'm afraid I can't get a taxi." And I said, "Come on, I wanted to hear more of all this." So we got into the taxi, and all the way to her hotel, she kept saying, I just can't get over it. I have never seen you look like that, and I've seen you for a long time, but I've never seen what I'm doing. And I and dropped her. So I picked up the paper the next morning to her column, and she had a whole page, and the headline said, Judy Garland arrives in London, and she's not chubby, and she's not plump, she's fat. A terrible girl. That's a miserable thing to do after all that time of taking her to her hotel. And then she said, she went on in her article and said, but she's jolly. She's jollier than I've ever seen her. And if you say anything funny to her, she throws her head back and her chins joggle happily. Oh, when she laughed. And then she said, but she has a lovely smile, and I'm quite, no, her teeth are crooked, but I think they're her own. That's all I have.